So we've been going through the series on the shepherds and looking at the shepherds and the story, how the shepherds basically related to the story of Christ's birth. And we first looked at how the shepherds were really kind of just outcast from society and outcast from the religious leaders, and that they were ceremonially unclean. And that was what we focused on the first week. And last week we talked about how the shepherds were honored. They were honored by God, you know, for being selected and being chosen to experience this moment in all of history, this one day that was such a key point to in the life of the world. And these shepherds were the ones who got to experience that. You know, one of the things that kind of stuck out the most to me was the fact that Christ, or that God, selected the ones who were outcast, the ones who were not the most popular. And, you know, it's a good humbling reminder that God came for those who were lost. And, throughout Scripture, we see this idea of God leading, or Christ going after the people who were the outskirts of society, the people who were not welcome, the people who were, I mean, like the lepers, for instance. Lepers, not lepers. The lepers, for instance. The woman at the well. All these different people, you know, God or Christ came for them. And, you know, Christ mentioned that he came for the sick that need the doctor, you know, and Christ came to heal the sick. And so we see this idea in with the shepherds and how God selected them and showing that who he had come for, those who were in a humble situation, who were outcasts and who were not worthy of this honor. Well, today we're going to be focusing on the last part of the shepherds, and it's probably the most important. And all of it's really good. Listening, you know, reading about how the angels came and what they said, and the good news of Christ's birth as the angels presented it. All that's great. But one of the things I want to focus on today is the shepherds' response. How the shepherds responded to the message that was presented. The angels, you know, they came. They shared the message, and the shepherds, they had a choice to make, whether they were going to go or stay. And we're going to read that story, verse 16 through 20 of chapter 2 in Luke. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there, and we'll read that today. Luke chapter 2, 16 through 20. It says, "So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." So here we see the shepherds' response. The angels came, they shared the good news of Christ's birth, and we see the shepherds' response here. And, you know, I like to imagine, like, what would happen in a story, whether it's the shepherds or other areas of the Bible. What if it was a different story? What if the shepherds hadn't responded? And you can imagine this had all happened, and the shepherds were like, "Well, that was interesting," and they just sat there. I was thinking about the kind of keeping with the movie theme, Josh. What's it called? The Christmas Carol. I'm sure you've all seen The Christmas Carol or similar versions of it. I watched it not too long ago with Johnny, the Disney version, and that was fun. And I was like, man, this brings back so many memories. But I love Disney, or not Disney movies, but, you know, the childhood movies like, what's it called? Charlie Brown. There we go. Man, that's sad. So anyways, but you know the Christmas Carol, and basically what happens, you have Mr. Scrooge, who is exactly how he sounds, not the happiest guy. And he has three ghosts appear to him. The first is the ghost of past, ghost of a present, and the ghost of, I always say it wrong, I always said future, but things yet to come or something like that is, I think, the technical name. But anyways, so you see this story, but the thing that's real interesting about the movie is Mr. Scrooge's response to the first ghost. Here he had this, you know, traumatic event and, you know, this dream. And he kind of just wakes up and immediately dismisses it. And he kind of just throws it out the window. I was like, oh, I was just dreaming, or I just ate something bad that affected my, this weird thing. So thankfully, the other two came along and corrected his thinking. But what if the shepherds had done that? What if they had, heard the message and just like, oh, maybe I've been counting too many sheep lately or something like that, But rather than that, they respond in a really an amazing way. And we're going to look at that. There's three ways the shepherds responded to this message that the angels had presented. And the first way that they responded was the shepherds sprinted to find Jesus. The shepherds sprinted to find Jesus. Going back to our text, Luke 2, verse 16, the first part says, "So they came in a hurry." I like that. That's kind of interesting to imagine them coming in a hurry. Or as some scriptures, I think the New King James has it, they hastened. They ran. Basically, it means that they rushed to find Christ. And some people believe that they probably left their sheep with some kind of tender. They arranged things to happen so they could go off and do this. But from the text, it sounds like it was an immediate response to the good news that they heard from the angels. It wasn't waiting till morning. It wasn't waiting till they had time. It was they heard the message and they responded immediately. When you think about Christmas nowadays, things have changed quite a bit. Rushing isn't really associated much with Christ anymore, huh? It's more associated with shopping and Black Friday shopping or whatever, kind of getting everything done, and we focus more on that. There's a story about a father and a son. They were doing some last-minute Christmas shopping, and the father was he owned his own business, and things had been great for him for that year because of just everyone buying. And he saw another business owner from down the street, and they started talking. And the boy was listening as they talked, and they started talking how this was going to be the best Christmas ever because everything was selling off the shelves. They were going to have lots of money. They could do all sorts of things, and just kind of going on and on about how great everything was and how this was going to be the best Christmas. The son listened, and as they parted ways, he asked his dad, "I have a question," or more of a statement, I guess. He's like, "Is that the best Christmas? Is the financial side or the money side? I thought the best Christmas was when Christ was born." And it's like, okay, that's kind of an interesting statement. Sometimes we forget how important Christ is on Christmas. I know things have changed over the years, and Christmas, of course, hasn't been back since the shepherds came. I mean, that didn't start for a few hundred years later. But imagine if the shepherds came today. And they saw what Christmas was all about. I mean, Christmas is really just, I was kind of curious. I never really looked at what does Christmas mean. I know it's Christ and Mass, but I didn't know what I know Christ meant Christ, but I didn't know what the Mass meant. But basically, it means just festival. So, Christ-centered festival, a festival about Christ. And so, anyways, it was centered on Christ. This is what the idea of Christmas was. And if the shepherds thought, okay, well, looking about, back to what we did and everything that was going on, would they be impressed with how we treat Christmas nowadays and how the world treats Christmas? I mean, it's crazy how different. We're rushing after so many other things, yet we tend to forget about Christ. We rush about getting all the holiday decorations done, all the Christmas shopping done, the wrapping, the making sure everything is perfect, all the family traditions, and none of that is centered around Christ often. And, I know Christmas has a lot of tradition. I love all my family tradition. Well, most of my family traditions. Majority of my family traditions I love. And, I would never want to get rid of them. But I always have to remind myself, we shouldn't be rushing towards those things. Those things aren't the most important thing. Sometimes those are the things that destroy the Christmas spirit or Christmas holiday or whatever you want to call it. It's those things that make it tough and rough. But when you center it on Christ, if we rush towards Christ as the shepherds rush, we can grow much. In Isaiah 40, 31, I imagine the shepherds thinking about this. "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Why should we sprint, chase after these other things when we should be chasing after the most important thing, Christ? And I think the shepherd's example is something that we should also, we should follow. And I mean, Christmas is a week away. Hopefully you guys got your Christmas shopping done, right? My mom, she's still in the back of my mind. No clue what to get her. But it's still, we still think about that. It's only a week away, but we should make every moment of taking the opportunity to shop, or not shop, think about Christmas. Take every opportunity to worship Christ and keep Christ at the center. The second response the shepherds had was that they searched and found Jesus. Looking back at 16 again, it says, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph. The shepherds searched and found Jesus. You know, this idea of searching, usually I kind of imagine it being an immediate response. The shepherds heard the message of Jesus Christ was born, and then they go and worship him. But there's probably some time searching and trying to find out where Christ was. I mean, the angels' response or their directions weren't very clear. I mean, in a manger somewhere in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem wasn't a big city, but I'm sure it still took some time for them to go around checking each manger, trying to see where the baby was, or trying to figure out where it was. But the shepherds had to go, and they had to go find Jesus. And that's what they did, is they searched. Kind of reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, if you want to go ahead and turn there with me. Verse 7 and 8, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. You know, I kind of imagine that with the shepherds searching, going from stable to stable, trying to find Jesus. Well, they ended up finding him. They ended up finding the King of Kings, the Messiah, the promised Messiah. How often do we search for Christ? How often do we take time to pursue after Christ, or pursue after God even? You know, we sometimes get so caught up in the other things about Christmas, or caught up into other things about life, that we don't try to pursue Christ. And sometimes, I've noticed this in my personal life, you know, I sometimes put it on Christ to find me. And I kind of just like, all right, I want to be close to Christ. Well, Christ, you need to come to where I'm at. You need to do what, you know, whatever is, you need to make it easier for me to have a relationship with you. And we kind of put it on the other end. But if you look through Scripture, the idea is us going to find God. And God's always available. Christ is always available if we search. But if we don't search, Christ isn't just going to come into our lives. He's not going to, you know, change our lives if we're just like, well, you know, feel free to do something if you want. We have to seek out Christ. We have to find Christ. James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's on us to go and search for Christ. The shepherds looked for Christ, and they found him. And because of seeing Jesus, their lives were transformed. I mean, sure, they went back to their same dirty job of being a shepherd, but they weren't the same men. They weren't the same people who had gone searching for Christ. I mean, they were transformed because they met the Savior. I found this quote, and I thought this was a great idea, a great way to think about it. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. The shepherds, when they searched, they found a Savior. When we search for Christ, we'll find a Savior too. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If we search for Christ, if we strengthen our relationship, if we make Christ the center of our lives, not just on Christmas Day, but on every day, then we'll find Christ saving Christ being our Savior throughout our life. The third reaction the shepherds had was that they shared their findings of Jesus. They shared their findings of Jesus. We're going to go back to verse 17 of Luke chapter 2. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The news of the Messiah was so important to them that they couldn't wait to spread the news of the gospel, or at least part of the gospel. They couldn't wait to spread the news of Christ coming, the Messiah coming. And, you know, so many times, you know, we put such an emphasis on knowing everything or, you know, doing everything right within the gospel. But here the shepherds, all they had was what they seen. And they shared that immediately. They didn't wait till morning when it was convenient for people. It almost sounds like they were shouting it in the streets as they went on their way. The Messiah has been born. You know, how many times do we struggle with sharing the gospel? I mean, the response is really such a great reaction. They ran to Christ, they searched him out, and then they told others about him. Now, shouldn't our lives reflect that? Isn't that what our lives should look like? That, you know, we ran to Christ, we worship Christ, and after doing so, we spread the news about Christ to everyone who we came into contact with. If our story had been written down like the shepherd's story was, I mean, what would it look like? Would it look like that? There might be moments in my life that looks like that, but there's always areas that I definitely have to work on. You know, sometimes we become afraid of the gospel. Sometimes we hold it in, we want to keep it to ourselves. Sometimes we are afraid of ourselves, whether we can say what's right. Even though we've heard the story of Christ come, even though we've heard what Christ has done, we're still terrified to spread that news to other people. And sometimes, you know, I wonder if we're really just ashamed of who Christ is in our lives, or ashamed of our relationship with Christ. The shepherds, they responded by spreading the news that Christ has been born. You know, I hope that we can be people who act like the shepherds, who respond like the shepherds responded. You know, that if our story was told, that they would see those things, that we would run to Christ, that we would, you know, worship him, that we would find him, and then spread the news to other people. You know, Scripture is clear that we have a job to do, and that it's not, and it should be something we want to do, but our faith isn't just attending church. Our faith isn't just doing, you know, even just the right things at the right moments. But as James 2, 14 through 17, if you want to turn there with me, says it very, very bluntly, how we're supposed to live. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17 says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." I mean, if the shepherds had responded by only going and worshiping and then leaving and not saying a word to anyone else, what kind of faith would that have been? What kind of faith would they have had if they acted like that? But no, instead, they chose to share that, to spread it, to do what was right. You know, believing in Jesus Christ isn't enough. Even just being baptized isn't enough. It's a lifestyle of putting Christ at the center. Not just like Christmas, but in every day of our lives. And it's a struggle. Sometimes it's easy to forget that Christ is the most important. Sometimes the other things kind of loom in the background and, you know, weigh heavy on our shoulders. But we need to keep Christ first and act like the shepherds have. Today, you know, we have an opportunity to share the gospel. We have the opportunity to spread the news of Christ. Christ has come, a Messiah, the Savior. And we can share that with other people, because there's a lot of people out there who still don't know it, or so don't understand it. You know, 40 years, Charlie Brown has been playing that video about the shepherds, and yet how many people still don't know the story? They're missing out on the gospel. Even though they're getting snippets of it, they still miss it. And we should find any opportunity to spread that, whether, you know, it's our friends, our neighbors, or, you know, the cashier at the Walmart checkout line. I mean, we should look for those opportunities to show Christ to other people. And that's our challenge for today, to be like the shepherds, to sprint to Christ. And, not just, when we first give our life to Christ, but daily, running to him. Trying to find him, worshiping him, and then, of course, sharing the good news to Christ. And that should be our challenge, that's the life. Our life is spelled out, written down. That's what it would show. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the example we have of the shepherds. I pray that we can have enthusiasm like the shepherds had, that they left everything immediately. They went after you, your son. And then they shared that news about him to everyone that they came in contact with. I pray that our lives will reflect that and that we will seek for opportunities to share the good news of Christ. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.